Father, as we look to your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us light to see by. We thank you, Lord, that your word is spiritually discerned. It cannot be understood just by the natural mind. So we look to you this morning to open the eyes of our understanding, to give us revelation. Speak to us, Lord. May we be forever changed as we look at you and your word in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful God we serve.
Amen.
He's on the throne.
Yes.
And one of the most important things that we need to grasp hold of is that God has an eternal plan and we are part of it. Things do not happen by chance. God sees, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the firstborn from the dead. Thank God, God knows what's happening in the world today. And we are at a specific point in God's plan, an exciting part of history. And I'd like to read from the pages of Matthew 24. I think the Bible is such an amazing book, written so long ago, and yet it is forever relevant. It is relevant in the morals of life. It is relevant in the words that it has to speak to society today. It has not aged with time, but it is as relevant as the day in which it was written. And the reason is that this book is written by God himself. It has the fingerprint of God all through it. It is much more than a book. And we see that through history. The Bible is remarkable in its preservation. There has been no other book that has been vilified and hated and banned like the Bible. The Roman empires wanted it destroyed. The communist government sought to wipe out every copy of the Bible. The Chinese again. Throughout world history, the Bible has been sought to be destroyed. And men and women like Tyndale, who brought the printing of the Bible, had to pay the price with their lives. But the more people have sought to destroy the word of God, the more it has prospered. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Hallelujah. Thank God his word is today published in more languages and more copies of it have been printed than any other book in existence. It is a unique book. We should value it and honor it. People have laid down their life for it and we want to get this word not just on the pages of the Bible but on the pages of our heart. We want to mix it with faith and we want to live it in our daily life because the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah. I want to look at what God has to say about the days in which we live. We're going to read from Matthew and chapter 24. And it says in verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say unto you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. These words were incredibly insightful because some years later in 70 AD, when Rome took the city of Jerusalem and it was ransacked, there was a great fire in the temple. And it was so intense that the gold of the ornaments melted and went in between the stones of this great building that was Herod's temple. And we are told in history by Eusebius and Josephus and others that the day came when there was literally not one stone left upon another, because even in the ruins, people pulled the stones off to get the gold out from in between. When Jesus speaks, his words are truth from the beginning. We need to listen to them, take them very seriously and obey them. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will the sign be of your coming and of the end of the age? Thank God we are not coming to the end of the world, but we're coming to the end of the age as we know it. Jesus is coming back to rule on planet Earth, his global empire. He's going to take it over again. Thank God he rules from his Father's throne in heaven. But when the angel came to Mary, the angel prophesied that this Jesus, the Messiah, is going to reign on David's throne and fulfill all the promises that were given throughout the Old Testament. One day he is coming back. He's going to reign from Jerusalem on David's throne. And we look forward with that joy to that day. We're in a day when we elect people that we know cannot do everything that is needed to be done. But thank God, when Jesus sits on that throne, he will have perfect dominion. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. He came once humble, meek, mild as a servant to give his life in sacrifice. He's coming back again in the clouds of heaven in power and great glory, and he will rule with a rod of iron, and it will be a wonderful time on planet Earth. Thank God. For those of you, it's controversial, I know, but I'm a great believer in the 1,000 years is as one day, and many of the early church fathers saw that 7 days was God's plan for history. 7 days, 6,000 years was the number of man. Six is the number of man in the Bible. 6,000 years, man is given dominion on planet Earth. But in the 7,000th year, it is the day of the Sabbath rest, and Jesus is coming back, and it will be a time of peace on earth, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We believe that. So going on, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." This has been true. The first warning Jesus gives about the days we live in, the days of the beginning of sorrows, the days of earthquakes, of wars, of rumors of wars. He says, be careful that no one deceives you. In this day, the primary warning of God's word is keep on the structure, the foundation of God's word. Get back to God's word. We need to know it. When Jesus was attacked by the devil, he knew the word of God so skillfully that even though Satan used the word against him, Jesus knew how to correctly interpret the word. He had studied to show himself approved. We need to study the word. Thank God, Christianity is about the glory of God's presence. It's about miracles. It's about wonderful things. But we do have to do the labor in the word of God. We've got to get into this word and get it into our heart, and it will bear fruit. One thing we've learned over the years, people may come and have the most wonderful experiences of God, but the greatest thing we can do is put in the foundation of God's word. Because we found when we do that, they may end up in different parts of the world, in different churches. People we have known are all over the world now, but in those that got that foundation of the word right, they do not go away. They stay firm because their foundations are solid. We need to take time on the foundations. It's so important. We've got to get this word into our heart. So Jesus warned, don't be deceived. People will come saying, "I'm the Christ." That means the anointed one. They'll come as the anointed one. But if what they preach does not line up with God's word, we must reject it. And many people today are going away from this foundation. Paul tells Timothy, you've got to preach the word in season and out of season. In season, when everything is wonderful, the church is growing, there are miracles happening. Preach the word, he says. But he says, when it's out of season, when there are difficulties, when there are problems going on, when everything isn't going well, keep preaching the word, because the word is the one thing that does not change. Our emotions change. Our situations change. The things around us will all change, but the word of God stands eternal. The things that are seen are temporary. Let's remember that our relationships, they're temporary. Our buildings, our homes, our bank accounts, they're temporary. But thank God we have something to build upon that is eternal. And Jesus said, if you build your life on the words that I speak, even though the storm comes and the problems come, that house will stand in that day. Thank God we're building on the rock of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars. There have been wars and rumors of wars. Nations have risen against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There have been 2 world wars, but even since those world wars, more people have died in war since them than died in them. The words of Jesus are true, and as we look into the future, we see more unsettlement, more rumors of wars. Is Putin going to take the Ukraine? What's going to happen in North Korea? Are they going to let off the nuclear bomb? All across the world, there are wars and rumors of wars. Jesus' words are true. And much as we pray for peace, when we pray for peace, we are essentially saying, Lord Jesus, come. Because he said there would be wars and rumors of wars, but when he comes back, he will bring in true peace. The only peace we have now is the false peace. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. Across the world today, there are many famines. Many of them induced by men. There is enough food in the world for everyone to be fed, but the wickedness of men causes others to starve. And if you hear about the things that go on in North Korea, in many nations, in African nations, it's a terrible thing for people to go without food. Jesus perceived it before it happened. He writes history before it comes to pass. He says there will be wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. These things must come to pass. There will be pestilences, earthquakes in various places. When you look at the rise in earthquakes, it's exponential. In the last 100 years, there have been more earthquakes than in the last 1,000 before that. They are growing in intensity because the Bible calls this the beginning of sorrows. It's birth pangs. It's labor pains. They slowly start in intensity. But those of you that have had a child knows once those labor pangs start, the baby's on its way and they're going to get stronger and stronger until that baby comes forth. The Bible says all of creation longs and yearns for the revelation of the children of God. Creation is waiting for Jesus to come back and set up his kingdom. And these are the birth pangs happening in the days in which we live. Matthew goes on to say, they will deliver you up to tribulation, will kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This was not just to the Jews. The Jews have not been hated for the name of Jesus. This was to Christians. Jesus warned that people that loved him would suffer persecution. And this has been the truth since the early church. In the first 2 centuries, over 5 million gave their life for Christ. They were committed to God in such a way. At the time of the rise of the Caesars, the Roman Empire, they brought in a tyranny whereby they said that everyone in the empire must worship Caesar. And you had to go up and put a pinch of incense to acknowledge Caesar as God, and you were given a certificate. And without that certificate, your life was very difficult. And of course, some Christians, they just did the pinch of thing and thought, well, we'll just get on with life. But those that really love God, they just couldn't do it. And many of them were burnt at the stake and gave their life for the sake of Jesus Christ. One great man was the Bishop of Smyrna. He's one of the seven churches of Revelation. And his name was called Polycarp. And they took this man, he was a great preacher of God's word, had worked so hard for the gospel. But they put him up, they tied him on the stake, and they put the wood around him and said, will you recant your faith and acknowledge Caesar as God? These were his words. He says, 86 years, he was an old man, I have served him, and he has never done me any wrong. How can I now blaspheme my king who has loved me so much? Bring on the flames. And they burnt him. So many. Yet in this century, as the birth pangs increase, there have been more people martyred for their faith in the 20th century. There were more people martyred for their faith in the 20th century than in all the other centuries put together. And we're seeing a rise today. We're looking at ISIS. Who would have ever thought the day would come when people would be beheaded in our day and age? And yet we're seeing a rise in persecution across the world. Jesus prophesied that these things would come to pass. They are a sign of the time. And thank God, all that we can say is that God will give us the grace that we need in the hour that we need it. I think all of us, if we think of persecution, we recognize that we do not know and whether we would be able to stand in that day, but God will give us the strength in the hour in which we need. And thank God, God has a crown of life for those that love and serve him. So the Bible says these things are the beginning of sorrows. He says, many false prophets will rise up and will deceive many, because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. But he that endures unto the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come. Thank God, when we look in this word, we see the fulfillment of prophecy. In Matthew, we see the account. It gives us the signs and it tells us after these things, there will come a time of great tribulation. Some people are confused when they look at Luke's account because it's slightly different. In Luke's account, it speaks of the former destruction of Jerusalem, and then it says after that it would see the signs. This is the other way round. It's talking about the final tribulation. Luke's gospel speaks of the time of Jerusalem. And again, it was a remarkable prophecy. Jesus spoke to the believers in Luke 21 and he said, the day will come when Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. He said, when you see that day, flee from the city. In 66 AD, Vespasian sent his armies against Jerusalem. It was surrounded, but because he had news back from Rome, for a short time, the armies withdrew. We are told by historians at the time that all those that believed in Jesus and his words fled from the city to a place called Pella. And they believed the words of Jesus. They heeded his warning. And very shortly after that, Titus came back with his armies. Jerusalem was razed to the ground. 1.1 million died during that time. But everyone that believed the word of Jesus was saved. That's how important it is to listen to what God says. In our daily life, we need to listen to what God says. Listen to what his word says, his morals, his warnings, his directions. Listen to God speaking by the Holy Spirit. There are many testimonies of those that have just heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and have been saved from disaster. Some of the testimonies of those that were in the Twin Towers who heard the voice of God saying, flee, and they got out before they fell. We need to have a sensitive voice, sensitive spirit to listen to the voice of God. Throughout Revelation, it tells us, let him that has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We need to hear the voice of God, and we need to hear his voice for our day, his voice to our day. The last day says, beware that no one deceive you. We're in a day when men are in the pulpit proclaiming to be ministers of Christ and saying that Jesus did not literally rise from the dead, saying that it's okay for two men to live together as man and wife. We're living in that day. We need to come back to the word. It is the thing that doesn't change. We have to recognize in our society, what is it going to be like in 20 years' time? I could not believe 20 years ago that that would ever happen. We knew things were going on then, but you never thought it would get to that day. But we're living now with a generation where children are being told you might have two mothers or two fathers or whatever it is, it's all okay. They have no concept of biblical morality. Thank God he's on the throne. Thank God Jesus is coming soon to put everything right. And thank God we have got the word of truth to proclaim. We are the children of God and we have got a voice to speak. And when we speak of the Lord coming back, we do it for a number of reasons. We do it because number one, it declares the glory of God, that God has his hand upon history. We do it because number two, it stirs us up to be diligent to do the work of God. Jesus said, occupy until I come. We are not of those who say, Jesus is coming soon, let's get it over quickly. We want to get on with his work, because when we stand before that judgment seat of Christ, we will give account for the works that we have done in the body, whether good or bad. We do not have a judgment of sinners, believers, but we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when he looks at us with those eyes that are like a flame of fire and his face radiant as the sun, he will want to know what we have done with our time since we came to know him. The greatest investment any believer can make of their life is to get involved in the things of God, to serve God, to get involved in his church, to be committed people. We want to be totally committed to God. Hallelujah. They listened to the word of God in Jerusalem and God saved them. We need to listen to the word of God. So many times we see this. When Paul spoke to the believers in Acts chapter 20, he says, listen, I'm going away. But prophetically, he knew. He said, after my departure, he said, savage wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock. And you are to test those who call themselves apostles, but are not. I want to tell you that they listened to what Paul said. So many people nowadays, they just don't listen. We hear so much that we don't always listen. But when Jesus spoke in the book of Revelation and we read of the church of Ephesus, he says to them, he commends them and he said, you tested those who said they were apostles but yet they were not, and you found them to be untrue. Thank God they listened. We need to listen to the word of God when he warns us. And in our day, the warning is, get back to the word. Get your foundation solid. This is for some people here this morning. Yeah. The days will come when there will be people around you that will bring false ideas, things that pull away from the deity of Christ, things that question the truth of God's word. And you need to have this word so much in your heart and life that in that day you can respond and you can stand firm and you will not be pulled away from the foundation that God has called us to. Hallelujah. We thank God for his word. We thank God in, let's just read a few verses in the epistles in Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. The Spirit expressly says, when in the latter times, some will depart from their faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. There are spirits behind some of these doctrines. How is it people can believe the most bizarre things? I find a lot of people struggle with believing the Bible. But yet, I've met people, they believe we came from aliens. I've met people, they believe when Jesus came back in, what is it, the Jehovah Witnesses in the 1920s, and that he came back spiritually, not literally. People have the most bizarre ideas, and yet they believe them. It's a spiritual thing. There are spirits behind people that get a grip on them and they believe the most ridiculous things. Steve will know, as I, over the years, we have seen people that just get pulled into these bizarre ideas. And we need to get back to the word. The Spirit clearly says in the latter time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, the doctrine of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. We know that there are churches where the ministers forbid to marry. And what devastation it has caused when the natural function of man is not fulfilled as God intended. There are some that have a special calling from God, but in the majority, God wants men and women to marry. It's the normal course. The Bible calls it the doctrine of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods that God has created to be received with thanksgiving by all who believe and know the truth. Thank God we don't want to eat junk food all the time, but we are free to eat what is set before us because what we bless, thank God, is blessed of God. I want to tell you, as a young man, I had continual stomach trouble and constantly had food poisoning and upsets and problems. And I came to the revelation that I always needed to bless my food. And from that moment, I began to bless it. I have never had those issues since. Thank God. We need to bless our food. If it's blessed of God, it's good. You shall eat any deadly thing. I always say it over grace. Not really. My wife's a very good cook, really. You shall eat any deadly thing. It shall not harm you. Thank God. He protects us. And we need to bless our food. We need to do everything in faith. Going on into 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, it's so true, these words. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this, in the last days, perilous, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. This is not everyone. Thank God there is some morality left in the world and the church is salt and light to our society. But this is the way much of our society has gone when we look at it. Men are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There was a day when business was run in an honorable way. People ran a business because they wanted to provide a good service for people. We live in a day when much more often it's run for profit. And it's run to milk the most profit as possible out of the situation. Men are lovers of pleasure, lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Everything's about pleasure, about the ultimate pleasure. Yes. Whereas Jesus said we should lay down our life for one another. The church is about giving. Thank God for all that has happened through the Church of Jesus Christ. Most of the charities that are around today were founded through the gospel of Jesus, through people that were moved by the things that are written therein. Unthankful, unholy, slanderous, disobedient to parents. Goodness, children nowadays, even to what they were 20 years ago, are so different. The rebellion, the reactiveness towards parents. You only have to go into the supermarket and you hear mothers saying, don't do that, and the children will answer back and say, I'll do what I want. The way people talk nowadays, many children, this is what was predicted in the Word. Things are very different in schools nowadays than they used to be. Thank God, as believers, it's different in our families and in our homes. Thank God. We have two children. We are very grateful. They're walking with the Lord. They love the Lord. But we brought them up with honor, with respect and discipline. They didn't do all the things that their friends did. But they say to us now, we didn't get it all right, of course. But they say to us now, we're grateful for the way that we were brought up. Thank God. Spare the rod, spoil the son. But if you bring a child up in the way he should go, he will not depart from it when he's old. We need to bring that discipline and balance in our children's lives. And going on in chapter 4, Paul's charge to Timothy, a very serious charge, because he says in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. He says, preach the word. This is what is so important in our day. We must not be fearful to boldly preach the word of God. It is not an easy day, but then Paul said to Timothy, difficult times will come. Thank God we have a relationship with God. We are founded on his word, and whatever times may come, we are going to stand firm and be strong. We want to keep that word as the center. God says to us, number one, he says, keep on my word. Come back to the word. Know the word. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, also in the light of the days in which we live, he speaks straight to us and he says these words in verse 25. We'll read from verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This is the body of Christ, God's wonderful plan. He gave us one another that we should consider one another, to stir one another up to good works. It's good to encourage one another. It's good when you see your brother or sister and you think they're growing a little cold or there's something distracting. It's good to be able to draw alongside, encourage them. That's why God put us in a body. We need to be with other believers. We are the family of God and we need to walk together. We always tell our church at home, remember, we're a family. We don't always get on. We don't like everybody, but we love everyone. We don't always get on with everybody. We have disagreements. We have upsets within the body, but we're family. We keep going. Even despite those things, we're not so frivolous that at the slightest thing, we're suddenly gone. There are times, of course, God moves us to another area or real false doctrine comes into a church. We may be led to move. But most of the time, we want to stand firm. We want to say, we're family. We're going to get through it. I don't know about your family, but we've found over the years there have been things that you find very difficult, but yet you cover it over and you get on because you just want to see God's will done and you want unity and you want to move forward. Sometimes we've got to step down our opinions and just zip what we think and just get on with it. And that's the way it is. You know, family isn't always easy, but church is family. And when we see it like that, thank God we stand together and we come through things together, and our relationships through those disputes at times grow stronger in Christ. Hallelujah. This is maturity. When you have a good friendship, it gets through a few good rows and your friendship's stronger, isn't it? But a weak friendship, the slightest thing, and it's over. Some of our best friends, we've had friends that have been friends 30 years, and we've had some big upsets in the past, but thank God we've come through it and humbled ourselves, and we've got good friendships still. We get through these things that happen. Hebrews 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. So many people get disillusioned. Yeah. They look at people instead of looking at God. If you start looking at people, you'll get disillusioned. People let you down. Don't look at me. I'll let you down at times. Look at Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. People will always disappoint us. People will fail at times, but thank God he will never fail. Don't get disillusioned with church. It's God's plan. We don't know how he's going to work it all out, but he says that when he comes back, he's going to present a church that is spotless and without blemish. Only God can do that. And we look out, we see a mess. We see churches divided. We see all sorts of problems going on. We don't have to worry about that. All we have to do is our part. We have to say, I'm going to be there. You know, at times, every church has different seasons. We went through a time when we first moved to Wales. We didn't think that we were going to start a church there. In fact, we didn't want to. You know, we'd had 15 years of pastoring. Let me tell you, pastoring isn't the easiest thing to do. I'd love to just go out and preach and not have all the burden of working all the solutions to everyone's problems and having issues going on in the church. We went to Wales. We thought, we've had enough. We want a break. We went along to a church and we said, we're not sure what we're going to do, but while we're here, we're going to be committed. And it was dry. We had to sit there Sunday after Sunday. We didn't always feel like going on a Sunday morning because it was dry and we're used to energy and life and vitality. But we said, we are going to be faithful. We are going to go every Sunday because this is what God's word commands. And there's a purpose in God saying that, when it's good and when it's difficult. The time came later on when amicably we knew that God had led us to start our own work up again. And the last 10 years we've been doing that, and thank God he's blessed us. We started with just our family, but God gave us a building. The building's been renovated, and now we have a loving family of God there, and we are regularly seeing people healed and people saved by the power of God. We thank God he is able. It's a sacrifice. If we were living for ourselves, I think we'd be in a little villa in Spain having a very nice life. But we're living for Jesus, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. The things of the world glitter on the outside, but when we put God first, it's always the best for us. Let me encourage you this morning. We are living in the end times, exciting times, the fulfillment of God's plan. We are a blessed generation. But this is the warning of Jesus. Get back to the word of God. Put his word first. Learn it. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.